Chapter 29. San Antonio, Texas. While Austin enjoyed his expensive gourmet lunch, Joe Zavala was 1,600 miles away, munching a honey-glazed donut at a coffee shop on the Paseo del Rio, or Riverwalk, the picturesque tourist district on the banks of the San Antonio River. Zavala checked his watch, gulped down the last of his coffee, and headed away from the river to the business district, where he entered the lobby of a tall office building. After wrapping up the strategy session, Zavala had packed an overnight bag and flown to Texas, hitching a ride on an Air Force flight to Lackland Air Base. From the base, he caught a taxi to a downtown hotel. Yeager could do wonders with his computer babies, but even he admitted TimeQuest was a tough nut to crack. Sometimes a human eye and brain, with their capacity to sense and analyze nuance, were far more efficient than even the most sophisticated machine. Zavala looked up TimeQuest on the lengthy directory of occupants. Moments later, he stepped from the elevator into a spacious lobby whose walls were covered with oversized sepia photographs of the archaeological wonders of the world. Directly in front of a picture of the Great Pyramid was a black enamel and steel desk that seemed out of time and place in contrast to the pictorial antiquities. Even more so was the brunette in her late 20s who sat behind the desk. Zavala introduced himself, handing the receptionist a business card printed that morning at Kinko's.
"Oh, yes, Mr. Zavala, the travel writer," she said. "You called yesterday."
She consulted her daybook, punched a button on her phone, and murmured a message.
"Miss Harper will see you in a moment. You're very lucky to get an appointment on such short notice. It would have been impossible if she hadn't had an unexpected cancellation."
"I really appreciate this. As I explained, I would have called earlier, but this was a last-minute thing. I'm out here doing a piece on San Antonio nightlife and thought I could double it up with another travel piece."
She gave him a friendly smile.
"Stop by after you talk to Miss Harper, and I may be able to suggest some hot spots."
The receptionist was young and darkly attractive, and Zavala would have been surprised if she didn't know the city's fun places.
"Thank you very much," he said in his most charming manner. "That would be a great help."
The public affairs director of TimeQuest was a handsome and smartly dressed woman in her 40s. Phyllis Harper emerged from a corridor and shook Zavala's hand with a firm grip. Then she guided him along thickly carpeted corridors to an office with big windows that offered a panoramic view of the sprawling city and its centerpiece tower of the Americas. They sat informally on either side of a coffee table.
"Thank you very much for your interest in TimeQuest, Mr. Zavala. I must apologize for only being able to give you a few minutes. Melody probably told you that I had a brief appointment slotted."
"Yes, she did. I appreciate the fact that you were able to give me any time at all. You must be very busy."
"I've got 15 minutes before my meeting with the executive director."
She rolled her eyes.
"He's a stickler for promptness. In the interests of brevity, perhaps I can simply rattle on for 10 minutes and allow 5 minutes if you have any questions. The press kit on the organization is quite informative."
From his jacket pocket, Zavala extracted a Sony mini-tape recorder he bought at a discount outlet and a notepad picked up that morning in a drugstore.
"Fair enough. Rattle away."
She gave him a dazzling smile that reminded him how a mature woman with class could often be so much sexier than a young, unformed beauty like Melody, the receptionist.
"TimeQuest is a non-profit corporation. We have a number of goals. We wish to promote an understanding of the present and prepare for the future by studying the past. We are educative in that we support learning about our world, particularly through our in-school programs for the young and our fieldwork. We give the ordinary person a chance at an unusual vacation adventure. Many of our volunteers are retired people, so for them we are the fulfillment of life's dream."
She paused for breath and went on.
"In addition, we support many archaeological, cultural, and anthropological expeditions. We are known to be a soft touch," she said with her pleasant smile. Universities are always calling us for support. Usually we are glad to give it. We use money paid by our volunteers, so many of these expeditions are self-sustaining. We provide experts or help pay for them. We have sponsored expeditions to every corner of the globe. In return, we ask mainly that we be informed of special discoveries before anyone else. Most people consider it a small demand for what they get. Any questions?
How did the organization start?
She pointed to the ceiling above her head.
We are a non-profit subsidiary of the company that occupies the 6 floors immediately above us.
Which is?
Halcón Industries.
Halcón. The Spanish word for falcon or bird of prey.
He shook his head.
Don't know it.
It's an umbrella corporation with many divisions. We're one of them. Most of its revenue comes from a diversified portfolio that includes mining mainly, but also shipping, livestock, oil, and mohair.
Now that certainly is diversified. Is the company publicly traded?
No, it is wholly owned by Mr. Halcón.
Quite a leap from digging mines to digging in old tombs,
Zavala said. It is rather an odd juxtaposition, but not really when you think of it. The Ford Foundation has funded esoteric projects that have nothing to do with manufacturing cars. Mr. Halcón is an amateur archaeologist, from what I'm told. He would have liked to have been a scholar, but he was much better as an industrialist.
He nodded. Halcón sounds like an interesting person. Would there ever be a chance of interviewing him, perhaps, if I gave you advance notice?
You'd have a better chance of interviewing Henry Ford. The dazzling smile again. I don't mean to be flip, but Mr. Halcón is a very private man.
I understand.
She looked at her watch. I'm afraid I have to go. She slid a thick folder across the desk. This is our press kit. Give it a read, and if you have any more questions, please call me. I'd be glad to put you in touch with volunteers who could give you a first-hand account of their experience.
Well, that would be very helpful. Maybe I could sign up for an expedition myself. They're not dangerous, are they?
She gave him an odd look. We pride ourselves on TimeQuest's safety record. Even in the remotest locations, safety is our most important consideration. You remember I said many retired people participate in our program. She paused. Those are the expeditions we organize. The ones we support with partial funding are on their own. But overall, our record is very good. You're safer on one of our adventures than you are crossing the street in San Antonio.
I'll remember that, Zavala said, wondering if Miss Harper were truly aware of all that went on in her organization.
There's a calendar of events for the upcoming year in that kit. If something interests you, let me know and I'll see what can be arranged. She ushered him back to the lobby, shook hands, and disappeared down a corridor. Melody smiled.
How was your interview?
Short and sweet.
He looked after the retreating figure. She reminds me of that old television commercial where the guy talked like a machine gun. Melody cocked her head coquettishly.
Well, there are always the night spots.
Thanks for the reminder. I'm looking for the really out-of-the-way places where the younger inside group goes. If you don't have other plans, maybe I can buy you lunch and we can talk about the nightlife in this town.
There's a great restaurant not far from here, eclectic and very popular. I could meet you there around noon.
Zavala scribbled the directions and took the elevator down to the lobby. He went over to the directory again and listed the subdivisions of Halcón Industries in his notebook. There were 8 in all, mainly concentrated around mining and shipping, as the PR director had explained. He took the elevator up past TimeQuest and stepped out into a big lobby, with a receptionist and mural-sized wall pictures of ore carriers. Halcón Shipping. He told the receptionist he must have the wrong floor and got back in the elevator. He repeated his routine at every other company under the Halcón aegis.
The offices were all pretty much the same, except for the murals. The receptionists were all young and attractive. He pressed the button for the very highest office in the Halcon tier, but the elevator sped right by it. When he got out, he was in the hushed precincts of a law firm.
"Excuse me," he asked the secretary, who was plain and efficient-looking. "I just pressed the button for the floor below and ended up here."
"That happens all the time. The suites below us are for Halcon executives. You need a special code to make the elevator go there."
"Well, if I ever need legal advice, I'll know where to come." He returned to the lobby, hoping he hadn't stirred the suspicions of security staff in his on-again, off-again elevator rides. After the destruction of the federal office building in Oklahoma City, it would not be wise to be seen casing an office building. He went down to ground level, caught a cab, then another to make sure he wasn't being followed, and hung around a bookstore until it was time to meet Melody. The restaurant was called the Bomb Shelter, and it was decorated with a 1950s theme. They sat at a booth made with seats from a 1957 DeSoto convertible. Melody was a Texas girl, born and bred in Fort Worth, and had been with TimeQuest about a year. Over lunch, Zavala said,
"Miss Harper was telling me about the big guy, Mr. Halcon. Have you ever met him?"
"Not in person, but I see him every day. I stay at the office an extra hour after everybody else leaves so I can do some studying. I'm taking law courses." She smiled. "I don't intend to be a receptionist forever. Mr. Halcon stays late, too, and we leave the same time. He comes down in his private elevator, and a limo picks him up."
She'd heard Halcon lived outside the city, but beyond that, Melody didn't know much about him.
"What does he look like?" Zavala said.
"Dark, thin, rich, handsome in a creepy sort of way."
She laughed.
"Maybe it's just the light down there in the garage."
Melody was intelligent and witty, and Zavala felt like a cad when he took her number to set up a tour of night spots. He made a note to smooth things out with a call when he got back to Washington. After lunch, he found a library and used the Internet to read about Halcon Industries' holdings. His findings pretty much conformed to the brief description Ms. Harper had given him. Then he went to an auto-rental place, where he rented an ordinary-looking mid-sized car and picked up a tourist brochure on the Alamo. Might as well absorb some Texas history while he waited for his rendezvous with the mysterious Mr. Halcon.